Numbers 4, verses 1 through 49. And Numbers chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1. God's people, these are the words of the living and true God, so give your full attention to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Take a census of the sons of Kohath from among the children of Levi, by their families, by their father's house, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, all who enter the service to do the work in the tabernacle of meeting." This is the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of meeting, relating to the most holy things. When the camp prepares to journey, Aaron and his sons shall come, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of the testimony with it. Then they shall put on it a covering of badger's skins, and spread over that a cloth entirely of blue, and they shall insert its poles. On the table of showbread they shall spread a blue cloth and put on it the dishes, the pans, the bowls, and the pitchers for pouring, and the showbread shall be on it. They shall spread over them a scarlet cloth and cover the same with a covering of badger skins, and they shall insert its poles. And they shall take a blue cloth and cover the lampstand of the light with its lamps, its wick trimmers, its trays, and all its oil vessels with which they service it. Then they shall put it with all its utensils and a covering of badger skins and put it on a carrying beam. Over the golden altar they shall spread a blue cloth and cover it with a covering of badger skins, and they shall insert its poles. Then they shall take all the utensils of service with which they minister in the sanctuary, put them in a blue cloth, cover them with a covering of badger skins, and put them on a carrying beam. Also they shall take away the ashes from the altar and spread a purple cloth over it. They shall put on it all its implements for with which they minister there, the fire pans, the forks, the shovels, the basins, and all the utensils of the altar. And they shall spread on it a covering of badger skins and insert its poles. And when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is set to go, then the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These are the things in the tabernacle of meeting which the sons of Kohath are to carry. The appointed duty of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, is the oil for the light, the sweet incense, the daily grain offering, the anointing oil, the oversight of all the tabernacle, of all that is in it, with the sanctuary and its furnishings. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Do not cut off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites, but do this in regard to them, that they may live and not die when they approach the most holy things. Aaron and his son shall go in and appoint each of them to his service and his task, but they shall not go in to watch while the holy things are covered, lest they die." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Also take a census of the sons of Gershon, by their family's house, by their families, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, you shall number them, all who enter to perform the service, to do the work in the tabernacle of meeting. This is the service of the families of the Gershonites, in serving and carrying. They shall carry the curtains of the tabernacle, and the tabernacle of meeting with its covering, the covering of badger skins that is on it, the screen for the door of the tabernacle of meeting, the screen for the door of the gate of the court, the hangings of the court which are around the tabernacle and altar, and their cords, all the furnishings for their service, and all that is made for these things, so they shall serve. Aaron and his sons shall assign all the service of the sons of the Gershonites, all their task and all their service, and you shall appoint to them all their task as their duty. This is the service of the families of the sons of Gershon in the tabernacle of meeting, and their duties shall be under the authority of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. As for the sons of Merari, you shall number them by their families and by their father's house. From 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, you shall number them. Everyone who enters the service to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting. And this is what they must carry as all their service for the tabernacle of meeting. The boards of the tabernacle, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, and the pillars around the court with their sockets, pegs and cords, with all their furnishings and all their service, and you shall assign to each man by name the items he must carry. This is the service of the families of the sons of Merari, as all their service for the tabernacle of meeting, under the authority of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. And Moses and Aaron and the leaders of the congregation numbered the sons of the Kohathites by their families and by their father's house, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, everyone who entered the service for work in the tabernacle of meeting. And those who were numbered by their families were 2,750. These were the ones who were numbered of the families of the Kohathites, all who might serve in the tabernacle of meeting, who Moses and Aaron numbered according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And those who were numbered of the sons of Gershon by their families and by their father's house, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, everyone who entered the service for work in the tabernacle of meeting, those who were numbered by their families, by their father's house, were 2,630. These are the ones who were numbered of the families of the sons of Gershon, of all who might serve in the tabernacle of meeting, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the commandment of the Lord. Those are the families of the sons of Merari who were numbered by their families, by their father's house, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, everyone who entered the service for work in the tabernacle of meeting, those who were numbered by their families were 3,200. These are the ones who were numbered of the families of the sons of Merari, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. All who were numbered of the Levites, whom Moses, Aaron, and the leaders of Israel numbered by their families and by their father's house, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, everyone who came to do the service of the work and the work of bearing burdens in the tabernacle of meeting, those who were numbered were 8,580. According to the commandment of the Lord, they were numbered by the hand of Moses, each according to his service, according to his task. Thus they were numbered by him, as the Lord commanded Moses. Those are the words of God. The chapter is fairly straightforward. You remember this try to remember this for the sermon this evening in 1 Chronicles 6 when we look at the tribe of Levi, the genealogy of Levi. Those who were to serve were actually to serve in the tabernacle complex and to do these things as we're talking about here were 30 years old to 50 years old. Those are here numbered, first the Kohathites through verse 20, the Gershonites through verse 28, and the Merarites through verse 33. These are all the Levites, and that's who he's describing here. And in each section, their duties, as it had to do with their taking down and carrying, setting up the tent of meeting and such, as was talked about in chapter 3, now more exhaustively here in chapter 4. The actual numbers are given at the end of the chapter, from verse 34 to the end. A total of all three family groups from 30 to 50 years old to serve was 8,580. Every one of the priests and servants from these three Levite family groups had their duty. They had their particular assignment. And that should remind us of the church of Jesus Christ. And we're all, by God's grace, having differing graces by His Holy Spirit, been given and equipped for service in His church. Just as the Levites were commanded and were shown, they had particular duties in Israel for the tent of meeting. And so we all have an important function in His church, whether you're a child or whether you're grown up, whoever you are, a woman or child, a woman or man, it doesn't matter. You have an important function in Christ's church. You have a role. You have a service that you ought to be using in service to Christ here. And so if you remember, if you are a child of God, you have a place in His church, and that's a place to serve your Mediator King. for the advancement of the gospel. And yet, remembering that in all that we do in our service to Christ, much as we learn here in chapter 4, we ought to be doing it according to God's Word. We ought to be doing it according to God's Word and in a proper, prescribed, and holy way. Verse 29, even the Merarites, who had what most would consider the least important duties, they weren't as glorious as the others. They didn't get to take and carry the ark through the wilderness. They didn't get that job. They had to do other things that were less than, or as we would consider less than. But they're still numbered. They're still numbered here. They're still important. And they serve to the best of their ability. Just as we are called, no matter what role we have in the church, we are to serve to the best of our ability, Christ, our Lord, and our King. And so whether you think your labors in the church are menial or not, and serve to the whether you think they're menial or not, we are to bring all things under the lordship of our mediator, King Jesus Christ, and do all for His glory. Our God is so wise that He provides the grace sufficient in all the gifts that He gives to His church to sustain us and to grow His kingdom. And in that we can praise our Lord, as He is all wise. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank You for Your Word. We're thankful for this passage of Scripture, which most I would probably skip through. They wouldn't want to read about the priests, because they believe that they have nothing to do with us today, and yet they have everything to do with us, because we are the royal priesthood now, who sits under the King, Jesus Christ, and serves Him. And we, the church, have our duties, whether even for some is cleaning. For some, it's preparing food, like we'll get to be able to do next Lord's Day, or serving each other and helping each other. And we're thankful that You have given us all different duties in Your church. Father, we are thankful for the church. We're thankful that You grow Your church. You are growing Your kingdom in this world. We're thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ, which continues to go out proclaimed by the Word of God and by faithful instruments of Your Word, especially pastors and preachers and elders who preach and teach Your Word. We ask that You would sanctify them, that they would be a godly example to the flock. Father, we ask for Your church, that You would protect it. Father, from, as even we heard this morning, from idolatry, from false worship and breaking the second commandment, that we would not make other images to worship You. And yet, Father, we often do in our hearts. Even as we come here, we want to hear a particular word. We have our sin, where we are struggling in our life, and we want to hear a word concerning that to encourage us and comfort us. And yet, today, that might be in Your providence, not what we are supposed to hear. Father, may we have a love for You, and knowing that You give us exactly what we need at all times, that we would trust You. Father, we heard from our brother, Pastor Philip, and where he is ministering in Brazil. We ask that You would care for his church, protect his church from errors. We know, as we've read through 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, and so on, that in the church there arises divisions. In the church there arises false teachers and false teaching and false worship. Father, we ask that You would protect us, and You would protect our brother Philip and his church from those things. That You would have godly elders who will be able to see those things and then root it out and protect the sheep. Just as we pray the same here in our congregation. Father, we do pray for their planting a church in a new city. We ask that You would help them and encourage them, give them wisdom, but also patience as they minister to these pagan people who do not love you who love the things of the world and idolatry and making statues that are just wood or carvings of stone, which break, Father. This teaches us that you are such a great God, that you do not need to be worshipped by those things, but you are worshipped in spirit and in truth. And that's the kind of worshipers you desire. And so we pray for all of us in our churches that you would make us worshipers that you're seeking, to worship you with our hearts and worship you according to your word and your commandment. Father, may we not turn from it or turn to the side, turn to the right or left, but that you would keep us on the path following after your Son and exalting his name. Father, we do pray that you would, for our government, and for the government of Brazil, and for the government of South Sudan, and Kenya. Father, we ask that you would, in all these places, that you would protect us, that you would lead them to love you. Those leaders who are over us that you've placed there, we pray that you would cause them to love you. And yet, Father, when they rebel, Father, we ask that you would cause them to bow the knee to your Son. May they kiss the Son, Father, who is the Prince, Messiah the Prince, as Daniel tells us. And Father, we ask that you would cause them to rule according to your word, that they would enact laws that would encourage the church, not to preach to the church, but to allow the gospel to go forward freely. That's their duty. And so, Father, we pray that you'll bring that about in our government, in our governments. And Father, we ask that all idolatry would be rooted out and destroyed. Father, we are thankful for our congregation. Though there are some who might not be feeling well today, we pray that you'll make them feel better, heal them in their bodies. We pray especially again for Jeannie and Dina, and we ask that you would heal their bodies. We pray for Luke's family, or Kendall's family, and we think of Melissa and Luke in Idaho, and we pray for Luke's sister-in-law, who's in the past week or so has come under great physical ailments. And Father, we ask that you would heal her. We're thankful for the new life in her womb that you have created, the baby. And Father, we ask that you would protect her in her coma that she's in, and heal her body completely. And we know that you will do this for those who believe in you. You'll heal their bodies completely, whether in this life or in the next. But Father, we know that you will do so, and so we pray for it. Father, we also ask that you would help Luke's brother to love his wife as Christ loved the church, and to care for her as Christ cares for us. And Father, if there are any others who may be not feeling well, struggles in their life, or no family members, we pray that you'll heal them and strengthen their bodies, strengthen our feeble bones to serve you as your royal priest here on this earth, your servants. Father, we also pray that you'll heal our souls, that you'll remove the sin, put the sin to death, mortify the sin that is within us, that remains, and that you would put in us, clothe us with your righteousness in Christ Jesus, your Son. Father, we are also thankful for the church, and we're thankful for this church. We're thankful for the body of believers here. We pray that we would remain faithful to you, and that you would help us now as we continue in worship to worship and honor your holy name. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.